Good morning. George Ann from North Dakota / Phoenix, Arizona. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. And I grew up in North Dakota. My dad used alcohol, and we did the geographical move. I learned very early on in life how to do a geographical move. He moved us from the city life to farm life, where there was no running water, outside bathroom facilities, and it was a culture shock for us. But my mom was willing to do anything to keep my dad from drinking, and so we moved to the farm. So that's why I claim North Dakota. I did a geographical move back in 1986 and moved to Phoenix, Arizona. So I'll kind of complete that a little bit later on in my story. But what it was like was, very difficult to know about the disease. My dad would get very sick, have to go in the hospital, and then my mom would come home and she'd say, "Your dad's a very sick man." And I'm like, "Yeah, he's a drunk. He drinks too much, you know." And so anyhow, I have two older sisters and a younger brother. We started milking cows. We had to milk the cows and feed the chickens and take care of the animals before we got on the school bus. And I wasn't a heavy girl in younger. My mom always said, "I was always afraid when the wind came up. You were so puny." She said, "I was always afraid when the wind came up, you'd get blown away, so that I don't know what happened." And so my eating career started probably when I was around 10 or 11. I just remember food was very important, and I crave food, and I want it, that food. And so I struggled with weight. I probably had maybe 10 to 15 pounds, but on a 5'1", I'm still 5'1 today. The 10 or 15 pounds is extra weight. And so I just remember dieting all the time. Like I wanted to, and I had a sister, today we're the same age. My birthday's in September 18th, and hers is October 23rd. That's how close we are in age. We're the same age now until she turns, 74 on October 23rd. And the boys always liked her, and she was very popular and cute and thin. And I wanted to be like her. I wanted to be thin. So I started dieting at a very young age. Going on, age of 16, I was date raped, I was in denial for all of that time frame. I thought, I'll be okay. My period will come someday. Denial sometimes, that's how I survived. I was in denial. And so I turned 17 in September, and my daughter was born in November. And I just knew I wanted her to have a mom and a dad. And so I gave her up for adoption. And but that's when my life really, that's what I really started using. I started using not only the food, but the alcohol and the cigarettes, and just to cope, because when that happened, the door was closed and nothing ever was said. There was no counseling, nothing. That piece of my life, the door closed and we never talked about it again. And so, but it lived inside of me, and it ate away at my heart. It was difficult growing up. And facing that, I felt like, they labeled me as a tramp. And so at times I thought, well, I might as well be one if they labeled me as one. So there was a lot of stuff along the way that I look back on now and know that I was hiding under all of that pain. But the eating and the drinking and stuff was there. So anyhow, as I mentioned, the diets were, oh my goodness, I tried everything, and they worked. That was a really, they worked. I got the weight off, but I did not know how to keep it off. I didn't know I was a compulsive overeater, didn't know that. And so I would think I was normal. Okay, I'm in the thin body now, and I'm normal, and I'm going to live a happy life. And what I discovered is I wasn't normal when it came to food. And so so the diets continued. As I mentioned, I did the geographical move from North Dakota to Arizona in 1986. And I just said, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to find a man, and I'm going to get married, and I'm going to have those, and I absolutely adore children. I love children. I see a child, and I just light up because I just love children, and that's all I wanted is I wanted to find a good man and have children and raise a family and live happily ever after. That was the geographical move. I knew that that was going to happen. And I met some people, but, I met gentlemen along the way. And but I heard one day in a meeting, my picker was broken. And my picker was broken. I to this day, I'm still single. I've never found that right person. So grateful. I was so what happened, so that's kind of what it was like. What happened was I had a friend at work, and her and I were eating buddies and dieting buddies. And so one day she came and she said, I found this program. It's called Overeaters Anonymous. And she's kind of going on, and she said, and it's free. Now, that is what got me in the doors of OA, because it was free. I was so tired of paying for weight loss programs and then not knowing how to keep that weight off once I lost it. And so I went to my first meeting in Arizona, and I was kind of taken back by it, because I knew there was something in the rooms, but I also, what I heard when I first walked in the rooms is everybody's problems. This is why I ate, and I ate this and I ate that, and I thought, wow, I know how to eat, but I don't know how to stop eating, and so. But I kept coming into rooms. There was something there that just caught my attention, and I thought, okay, this is different. And I think back then it was that I discovered that it was a threefold program, the physical, emotional, and spiritual. Now, they talked about that, but I was just there for the physical. That's the only reason. I mean, I had religion, didn't need to do all of that. And, emotionally I'm okay, that denial that emotionally I really wasn't okay. But I thought, I'm good. I've got a good job. I support myself. Everything is good there. I stayed in the rooms of OA for 12 years, trying to figure it out. I'd get a sponsor, and I'd have sponsors, and I'd have recovery, and then I start eating again. And I heard in a meeting one day, and this was so, so profound for me. It said, diet fixed my body, but it didn't fix my mind. And that's what was happening in OA. I was trying to fix my body, but I never worked on my mind and my emotional peace. And so in 2000 is when a friend of mine in regular OA came, and I could see she was getting physical recovery. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing different? And she said, I started going to these more structured meetings. And I went there, and I'll never forget walking in that room and listening to the people standing up in front of the rooms. They were in sin bodies, and they said a solution. And they said, if you do this, you know, here's what you're going to have. And I just remember a gal with in a sin body. She was my height, about my age, same, you know, 5'1", but she was in a little body, and I thought, I want what she has. So I called her. She gave me her number and told me, she told me what she did and what was expected of me. And I got scared because I thought, how am I going to do this? And so I said to her, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I'll call you back. So, and then someone else. And we were so blessed in the Phoenix area to have a person from Boston come and brought the 90-day concept to us. To this day, you know, there's so many of us that say we owe so much to her. And what she was doing is she brought her experience, strength, and hope to Arizona. And so I got a call from her, and she encouraged me. And so I decided, okay, I think I can do this. And I called that little gal back that I wanted to be just like her. And she said that she's so sorry. She's already picked up someone else. She couldn't sponsor me, but she told me to go to this meeting, another meeting that was the 90-day concept. And I found a sponsor there, and she was the best person ever for me because God knew exactly what I needed. She was gentle. She was kind. She was, you know, easy to work with. And she was fairly new in the 90-day concept, too, so we kind of figured it out together. But then she retired, and I knew that if I was going to stay abstinent, I needed someone to talk to every day, and she wasn't readily available for me. So I just said to her, I think I need to find a new sponsor, and she understood that. So I found a sponsor, and this sponsor had the spiritual peace that I needed. Because now I've already had the physical. That took me about probably 6 months. I lost 47 pounds. I had lost pounds before I came into OA. I was on the diet before I got there. So I had lost, so I'm 5'1", and, you know, I had lost like 47 pounds. Today I stay in the weight loss range of, or the weight range of about 115 to 117 in that area. And so I knew the spiritual peace came with this new sponsor, and I was so grateful. So here's what happened. I started working every tool every day. That's what they asked me to do in the 90-day concept, more discipline. No one had ever said that to me in the prior 12 years of working my program. And then calling her every day with my food, writing it down, weighing and measuring. And so that started working, and I started getting the physical. And then I realized, oh, there is other pieces of this program. It's not just the physical, it's the emotional. And that's when I started working on me and started finding out who I was and what I needed to change. You know, because I grew up in a very angry, alcoholic home. And so when my dad expressed himself in anger, thank you so much, Kelly. My dad expressed himself in anger. So that's how I would get attention. If I were mad, someone's going to pay attention to me. And I was always striving and looking for attention. I felt my mom was so busy trying to fix my dad. I mean, she was a beautiful mother. And she was so busy trying to fix my dad that she wasn't readily available for us. And then just quickly back to my dad. In 1989, this disease took his life. He went in the car, turned the car on, and had a gun laying alongside. And that taught me how cunning and baffling and powerful this disease is. And so he took his life because of the disease. And I was so sad that he never could find program, that, you know, he was never offered what I was offered, a way out of my disease. So, and I used to say my dad was an alcoholic, he was a drunk. And today I praise my dad. He was the best man. People loved my dad. He had a great sense of humor. And so I now say my dad was my greatest mentor. He taught me what I didn't want to be. I didn't want to stay in the disease like he did and die from the disease. And what I discovered in the rooms is it's the disease that's ugly. My dad wasn't ugly, but when the disease showed up, that was what was ugly. My dad was a good man. So I'm grateful that I could sort through the disease from the person. So anyhow, I'm just grateful today. Working the steps, I just did one step study after another and just kept working on me and discovering who I was and discovering who I didn't want to be. And then the spiritual piece, I thought I had it. I thought I got religion, a little Catholic girl, everything is good, but I didn't have a personal relationship with my higher power, who I choose to call God today. And that was an amazing gift, is discovering that. And that's with this sponsor that I have today. That's where she was so strong in my recovery in that piece, you know, helping work through the steps and helping me get the spiritual piece of this program, which is such a gift today. Oh, my gosh. Every day I just feel so blessed. And I have a God that I can rely on. I can go to anytime I need, you know, guidance. Sometimes my sponsor isn't readily available for me. And I think, okay, God, you want me to come to you instead. I am a very active person, got a lot of energy. It's hard for me to sit still sometimes and hear God, you know, listen to what he's trying to tell me. And I have to say that out loud because it really is difficult at times for me to hear God. But I learned as I went along in program, it's 25 years that I've been in the 90-day doing the discipline of this program. And I've learned so much. And thank you. And so I'm just going to finish with the spiritual piece because that's when my program started working. So I just encourage anybody that might be struggling, don't leave before the miracle happens. There is a miracle, and if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. And so just keep working on trying to discover who that spiritual piece is for you, because it's amazing. So thank you so much for letting me share my story, working my tool of service today. So I thank you, and God bless all of you.